Pie. What a time to be alive.
And this is probably going to be very racist. Bonus.
Bonus.
What's up? Hi.
What's up?
Just us today.
Yeah, I know. Just talking about how I am how I'm apparently completely out of the loop on all everything cool and it happening in culture.
Eli didn't know there was a new Martin Scorsese movie out, which to me is like...
You what?
Bananas that you didn't know.
I'm not in the forums. I'm not keeping up on it. My algorithms are all warped.
It's a movie based on like a book that was really popular a couple years ago too. So I feel like you get it on both sides, you know? Like if you have read the book, you should know about it. If you watch movies, you should know about it, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not always...
Marty's doing interviews all over town.
It's true. He's out there, man.
Is he allowed? Who knows?
He's allowed. That's why he's doing it, because the other people aren't allowed.
Yeah.
He posted his daughter has a TikTok, and it pains me to say it, because it's like, oh, Martin Scorsese's daughter has a TikTok. But she's really funny, and she did a video with him where she was like... Because also... Martin Scorsese is like 80. This girl is probably 20 because he, you know, is a famous rich guy. So she's like, "Dad, what does lit mean?" And like makes Martin Scorsese figure out what all of the slang means. And he gets a lot of it right.
Yeah,
he's a pretty with it guy, unlike you.
If I had to guess, I think she'll get her crack at things. I think she'll get some opportunities to make some long form content at some point.
But yeah, the movie is really good. Shelby saw it too. We can get Shelby's robot voice review, but it's really good. It's it will bum you the fuck out for days.
Oh, I bet.
If you're looking for something to do on this rainy weekend, our like fifth rainy weekend in New York City in a row, check it out.
Have we gone back? Is it just in theaters or is it on Netflix?
Seventh in a row.
Just in theaters.
Oh boy.
Seventh in a row. Yeah.
Big ask. I got spoiled by the Netflix thing.
Of rain.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Oppenheimer to come out on Netflix quietly. I was like, oh yeah, we'll see it in theaters. And then secretly I was like, 3 hours? I want to be able to take a nice relaxing pee in the middle of that, right as the nukes in between the air and the ground, like pause.
Well, that's a nice thing about taking a break in a historical film is like I can figure out what happens if I leave.
Yeah.
There is a way to predict this.
Well, I mean, from the beginning, you probably know what happens, and I feel like even compared to other kind of, you know, like, oh whoa, I didn't know that was real. It's like, can you imagine someone being like, that's based on a real story? It's like, yeah.
Oppenheimer, yeah,
the nuke. Unbelievable, wow.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, no, I'll check it. I mean, part of it is like I get my like algorithm and stuff is like, it's like that classic internet thing of like, like, you know how like it tries to figure out what you're into, but then it like is so aggressive about like the same way as like Instagram or Amazon. If you like look at an item once, it's like it thinks you're obsessed with it, you know? Like I don't know if it was me or somebody else who tweeted, it was like you look at oatmeal and for like the next month Amazon's like, here comes oatmeal boy, who wants oatmeal? And it's like
yeah.
So it's that, and it's like it happens to that, so it's like I'll get recommended one thing that's like kind of off, you know, like not kind of weird, and I'll watch that, and then it'll just be like
on like, are you talking about YouTube or Netflix?
Or Netflix, or Netflix too, anything. Where it's like, because I watched that Korean reality show, and now I am
right.
Getting recommended.
You've missed the award season movies because you're too busy watching your Korean survival game show.
Yeah, yeah. Which
they're not
no
doing.
Joke.
Marty's not doing appearances on that. So how would
you
know about it?
Get him on the devil's plan. But I like watched that, and it's the only Korean reality or survival show I've ever watched. And no joke, my recommendations are about 80% Korean survival reality shows now. Like they're like, this is all you're getting now.
You got a lot of options when you're done with this one, you know.
That's the crow that says ni hao, which is not Korean.
I was wondering what that was. It's the crow that says ni hao. Give me one more.
Ni hao, ni hao.
Yeah.
Frightening. But yes, yeah, also notably bird. Not Korean.
Yeah.
I want to be clear about that.
Enough
He's
crow.
Third chair today. The crow that says ni hao. He's our guest.
Yeah, yeah, he's filling in. No, I don't know. So I get kind of like just shown that, and I've got to like dig my way back. It's like a fast track to being like, you know, one of those. I have like a parent's level of being like, what's going on? I got to go look up what everybody's doing, because it's just shunted me into the other.
Well, I think like part of the reason Killers of the Flower Moon is like people know that it's opening weekend for that is because there hasn't been a good movie out in like 2 months. Like,
oh yeah,
there's you. So I'm just saying you haven't missed much in your Korean survival game show cave. There hasn't been a whole lot else going on. This is pretty much it.
Not even really deep in the cave. Well, I don't know. Time is all in flux for me now. I know no longer can reliably mark the passage of days ever since the calamities.
Since you entered the cave.
No, well, I just meant ever since the global calamities of COVID. But
due to the horrors, it's
yes,
hard to
due
tell.
To the horrors. Yeah, it's like when I wake up with a headache now, and I'm like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. I'm not like, whoa, is something wrong with me? I'm like, yeah. Like,
yeah, I really have been like, I've had like a really tough month. And I've just been like, you know, trying to figure out like, what could it be that's making me sad? And then I'm like, oh, it's probably like reading the news for 12 hours a day is probably,
oh yeah,
probably
you
like the
that.
Main thing. I gotta not do that. It does not help. It's not helping fix anything.
Yeah, not, and then just like, you know, the same news for 12 hours, but phrased differently. It's like, because it's just like constant flow. It's like, it feels like you're reading like you're like a teacher who has to grade reports on the horrors, where it's like, because they just have to fill their publishing quota. So there's like just 12 things on the same piece of information that are just like, they're like, I don't know, if we just massage this opinion into 12 different forms, maybe it'll
get
work
some of those
out. Like
sweet,
that.
Sweet clicks from sad people who can't not look at a screen, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to like, it's not because it's not, my parents don't do like the Fox, they're not like Fox News people, or whatever, they're very liberal, but they do like, they are like clued into the news, and it's, I'm like trying to wean them off of it because, and you know, when I was younger, they've always been like news junkie sort of people.
Yeah. But, like MSNBC on all the time type people.
Yeah. And like when I was younger, that was like, like, you know, like I feel like news junkie was much less derogatory about 15, 20 years ago, because they were like really caught up on everything. But now it's like triply weird because A, there's so much bullshit on. And it's already like 4 or 5 hours, if not a day, behind compared to just being on your phone. And so they're like, when they're like, watch the news all the time, it's like, that's not keeping you, like, that's not a necessity to keep you current. And it was just like, because they'll put it on during dinner and then immediately, like, it's like, put like one spoon of food onto my plate and it's like a bus turned over and like, you know, like a school bus flipped. And then it's like, and here's footage of the wreckage. And it's like, can we just like turn it off until Jeopardy comes on? We don't need to like delete it. Yeah.
I remember my dad used to watch, they didn't have the news on all the time, but like my dad on Sundays, he would watch all the like panel-y shows, you know, where they like talk about the events of the week. And he would get so visibly mad. Like he would watch them and be like so pissed off. And I remember as a kid being like, why is he doing that? And now as an adult, I'm like, oh, I know why.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I also basically do the 2023 version of that all the time. Like, okay, yeah. I sort of understand.
Yeah. And it's
kid
like,
me was right. Like, kid, I was absolutely, kid me was correct. But it's like, oh, okay, I get the like adult impulse to like,
yeah,
like intentionally watch something that's going to piss me off.
Yeah, and it's like to pretend that it's like, you're like, oh, it's like an interesting discussion happening. I'm like, it's not.
It's not.
It's like Rachel Maddow going like, is that what we should be doing? Is it? It's like, please turn this off. Going crazy. Though I did, I have this. So one of the last times I was home, I got my parents a new TV and set it up and everything. And it's like knock on wood, literally knocking on wood.
I feel like this every time you go home, you have to set up a major piece of technology for your parents.
Well, it's like an appointment. It's part of my
duty. It's part of the visit
when I go back.
I see.
Yeah, it's what I in exchange for dinner, I set up whatever they have to set up. But this has been the TV has been a long project of slowly convincing right. my father that he wants the TV because that's the only way it will last. But I set it up, and knock on wood, they have not had a single problem with it. And I am I'm always convinced that it just, they broke it like 2 months ago, and they just don't want to make me feel bad.
They just
want
to tell you.
So they just have like a completely non-functioning TV. And then I'm like, is everything working okay with it? And they're like, oh yeah, we love it. And then in the house, it's just like showing static. And it's like, dude, that there's a jump scare that people don't. Youngins don't know about when you hit like a channel that didn't work and just the TV spraying static and like the loudest white noise of all time at you.
Yeah, the technology things don't make static anymore, do they? I guess the radio probably still does, right?
Yeah, I think they've lowered the amount of like terrifying. Now it's like a soothing ambient song and it's like this channel is non-operational or whatever. Before it was your TV would just scream at you like you did something horrible wrong, like horribly wrong. It's much more peaceful now, you know.
What are they gonna use to make horror movies scary if there's no static anymore? That really cuts out a major horror movie spook device, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Poltergeist?
Just have to
come
adapt.
On. You seen that movie? Very scary.
They'll have to adapt like how all horror movies now have to have like a line at some point where someone's like, cell service doesn't work. There's going to be more and more caveats where it's like, our cell service doesn't work and also my GPS doesn't work and I lost my AirTag. So like it's all gone.
I saw a pretty good, I feel like there's two ways to go with a horror movie, right? Like you either have to do that or you have to do the phone is haunted. Like those are the two.
Yeah.
Either the phone is in on it or the phone isn't working. That's the way to do it. I saw a horror movie a few weeks ago that I liked called The Unseen, or maybe just Unseen. And it was this girl gets kidnapped by her ex-boyfriend and she escapes. And in her escape, her glasses break and she has really bad vision. So she can't see. She's running. I feel like this must be a relatable fear for you. I was like, clearly this was written by someone with glasses where like she's running through the woods because she's like been held in this cabin, but she can't see shit. Right. So she calls. I think she's trying to call like her friend or something, but she gets a wrong number. But her phone is all fucked up. So the woman on the other end of the wrong number has to like guide her through the woods to get out, and they bond, and it was very good. And it was also just like, yeah, man, I feel like this is a relatable fear to me.
It's also Velma. This is basically Velma from Scooby-Doo. This is what happens to her in every episode of Scooby-Doo. She loses her glasses. And then it's like,
okay, yeah, I think the losing the glasses part happens to her. I don't think any of that other stuff happens to her.
Well, spooky stuff almost always happens.
I guess
to
that's
Velma
true.
And
she
the crew.
Is encountered with spooky stuff. I feel like the rest of that is not really her story.
Famously bad Scooby-Doo episode where nothing spooky happens. They're just hanging out, just fill her up.
It's a bottle episode. Their van breaks down and they bond.
Yeah, I think it's weird, like the glasses thing. I guess because I don't do a lot of wild physical movement. So I guess maybe that's why like I've almost never dropped or broken my glasses. But I feel like the threat of your glasses flying off your face and breaking is inflated in movies and stuff.
Yeah,
because it's like especially if you like really can't see that well, it's like. Your glasses are pretty, they're like, you know, you have like a, it's like a couch, I feel like, where it's just like, they fit on your face and they're like locked in. It's like where people always like talk about losing glasses. And I'm like, if you actually need glasses, it's very hard to lose them because you can't spend a second without them on. Like,
well, that's
like,
what I mean. I'm not, it's not that I'm afraid that my glasses are going to break. It's that it is very relatable to me, the fear of not being able to see and like not having, because like my thing is I don't wear glasses very often. I wear contacts, but like when I take my contact lenses out, I put my glasses on at night. And sometimes I will take, when I'm like getting ready for bed, I'll take them off and put them somewhere weird. And then I wake up in the morning, I have absolutely no hope of finding them because I can't see. So
blind.
Yeah, no, like very, very easy to misplace them in my house and be like, wow, if these were gone, I would be totally powerless. I would be like, you know, completely defenseless against any threat.
I don't remember if I told this specific part of it on the bonus or on the podcast, but that was like when I took that photo with those little round sunglasses after the wedding. Mm-hmm. I like took off my glasses to put those on to take the picture, but then whoever had my glasses, people underestimated how blind I am, and it's whoever had my glasses walked away, assuming
that
when I was done I would come find them, and I like got off stage, like the stage where we were taking the photos, and I was like, hey, I need my glasses, and they were like, oh, I don't, they were like, I think maybe like David has them. And I was like, I'm going to straight up need you to walk me over to him.
Right.
And
like, I need to be guided like a like an I cannot elderly see person.
Shit. Yeah, yeah.
That's like my fear too is always like, cuz I mostly wear contacts. My fear is I'm going to be like on a trip somewhere, or I'm going to be driving and one of my contacts is going to fall out and I'm not going to have like backups.
Yeah,
because that would like I don't know what I would do. That would like ruin my life.
You wouldn't bring your glasses?
I usually bring my glasses, and I usually bring extra contacts. But like because I'm so afraid of that happening.
Yeah,
like,
no, I think that's,
you know,
just
and
normal.
Like when I'm driving or something, I don't necessarily have those. You know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
my big fear is like driving is like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I would just instantly die. Like, right away.
I mean, I just started wearing contacts again, but I think that just a good practice is to bring, cause I can't imagine like if I'm going on vacation or something,
I always bring backups on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I do remember like occasionally losing a contact somehow. And then like, I remember like walking home with one eye shut. Cause like, I'm so blind too, that it's like,
you never
lose both of your contacts unless someone is pranking you, or I don't know. Like the Three Stooges mugged you, and now you got poked in both eyes, and your contacts fell out. And so, not only can I not see shit, but it like makes me being able to see through one eye is like very nauseating. So
totally,
I definitely like
yeah.
remember like walking home. I think when I was younger, I remember like biking with one eye open, just being
Jesus.
Like, "Yar, no depth."
It
perception.
Is weird that like I don't know. It's weird that can happen. There's just like, oh, this thing fell out of my eyeball, like. Shouldn't be allowed, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah, it should be in there plenty. It's once it gets in there.
Glad we don't live in the time where they were like glass.
Oh yeah,
when they were like hard.
The
very
perm
scary.
The permeable.
Before they had like invented sophisticated enough plastic, they just put fucking shards of glass in your eyeball.
Well,
no
they also they also have, I don't know if they probably would have never recommended them to you, because I don't think your eyesight is as serious. Like, I don't know what your prescription is, but
it's pretty bad. It's -475.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, we're like in the same ballpark.
Yeah. Did they ever recommend? They had these ones when I was younger that was like you wore them at night, and
like all day and night,
you wore them only at night, and they reshaped your corneas over the course of the night, and then you wouldn't wear them during the day.
They're like eye braces.
Yeah, and I was just
that's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, and I was like, this seems like such a poor solution. Like they were like, they would try to paint it as some sort of convenience, and I was like, do they have a lot of money flowing into the optometrist office? Because like being who's like, oh, this the extreme, especially nowadays with how modern contacts are, it's like the extremely slight occasional discomfort of wearing contacts. What if it was what if you had glass in your eyes while you were sleeping, and then like, you know, if you forget to put your contacts in, you're like, oh, well, now I'll put them in. But if you forgot to wear your fucking eye braces, you just can't see for the next day. I was just like, even as like a 13-year-old, I was like, this is not a good solution.
Would you ever get LASIK?
No, because I read stuff that scared me about it, even though people have told
yeah.
me. The dry eye thing. Have you ever heard of that?
No. I have not looked into it. I've just assumed I can't afford it and have never like tried to do it. My mom did it and
yeah.
was happy with it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't mind contacts. They're fine.
Yeah, I like being able to wear glasses. I read, because there was a thing, I went down a rabbit hole because I was, for a while there was that thing that was going, talking about how, like, you know, the regret rate for the percentage of people who regret getting LASIK is way higher than the people who regret getting, like, gender confirmation.
Yeah.
And so it's like looking at it, and then that unfortunately went straight into people being like, some people get LASIK and then their eyes are just like chronically dry for the rest of their life.
Oh yeah,
and
that's a nightmare. Like, no,
okay, I don't need it that's that true. Bad. I'm not trying to be a fucking jet fighter or something.
the statistic I always hear about gender confirming surgery and hormones and stuff and is that more people regret knee replacement. That's the one I hear all the time.
Really?
Like apparently, which like is twofold. First of all, not that many people regret gender confirmation medical interventions, and number two, a lot of people end up regretting knee replacement, which is like kind of interesting. So
yeah, I almost
be wary out there of changing your knees. Change your gender all you want, but
yeah,
think twice about your knees.
I almost think that the knee, like, because I feel like knee, when people talk about replacing knees, I feel like it's almost a misnomer for it, because like I don't know anyone. Not that I'm hanging out with a ton of people who get knee surgery, but like...
My mom is going to get a replacement in a couple years, probably.
Yeah, I'm like both of... A good amount of the adults I interact with, like in my family and stuff, on a regular basis, have had it. I am probably bound for it, given what they feel like now. Is that like, they seem to always paint it as they're like, well, you get your knee replaced and then, you know, like, you're good. And it's like, everyone I know who's gotten that gets a new knee, like, it just becomes something you have to swap out every 5 years or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're supposed to wait to
get it. Fun fact, the reason my mom needs knee replacement is because when she was like 27, she got run over by a motorcycle. Oh. Like fully run over. Like in a crosswalk, pancaked.
Yeah.
She's fine now, so I can laugh about it, but... Is that fucking crazy? That's just
knee
such replacement a weird, like,
because your old knee is on the street is yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, it's just like she's always like her, that leg has always like had some, you know, like it's the first one to get tired or get sore or whatever. And like now that she's old, she has arthritis in that knee. And it's like, well, yeah, because it was briefly outside your body when you got run over by a motorcycle. Because
it was completely shattered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I can see it. I could, or I need to start doing the physical therapy thing. I was talking to a friend of the pod, Dan Yang, and he was like, he's talking about how now he goes to the gym and does like, it's like, I remember when I was younger seeing my dad like wake up and like quote unquote do his stretches. And I was like, what the fuck? And now I'm like, oh, I get it. Because Dan Yang's like, yeah, I've been walking backwards on a treadmill at the gym. And I'm like... You just have to abandon self-worth to do that sort of shit. Like, that's such dad, old person, just maintenance type, like...
That's the self-worth, is doing the maintenance. It means
yeah,
you have self-worth.
To do that in the middle of a gym...
You just maybe don't have dignity.
Dignity, yeah, yeah. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like
that's
to do...
my dad, last year, he had a really bad back problem, and he was worried he was going to have surgery. And, like, it was sort of like, he went to a physical therapist, didn't really help... And he was like, okay, this is like my last ditch effort before surgery. I'm going to go to this like specialist in Boston and like this physical therapist who like specializes in this stuff. And it worked. And like it completely, he was like totally, you know, his back is back to normal. And he's just like, oh, I credit, you know, all of my healing to this guy. He's like amazing. And my mom and I were like, show us some of the stretches he has you do. And he showed us and we were like, that's just yoga. That's the thing we've been telling you to do for 20 years that you're like, that's for girls and won't do it. And
yeah.
It fixed you. Like, yeah, man, just stretching a little bit. It really helps. It really
the most,
does.
The most basic, like, flexibility. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, or just like, these are just regular stretches. yeah, I need to get on it. But yeah, that's the thing where it's like, at a certain point, it's depressing where it's like, you're doing the routine of someone who's like recovering from a like what like a college athlete would recover from a traumatic injury with, but it's just too so that you don't hurt all the time. You're like, you've got to like walk through a pool on bars every day from 40 on.
You're like, that's, yeah, that's the first thing I do in the morning is I hop in my pool and yeah. hold on to the bars.
Yeah.
I like, get on the like cat treadmill from the viral videos of fat cats at the vet.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. There's just no, you already don't have cartilage in your knees, so you're just, there's
it does
no,
feel
there's
like
no, bump, no wiggle room.
You just feel like, I feel so punked when that stuff works. It's like, fuck off. It was really yeah. this easy. I just had to do this whole time. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like when you're like, feel like you hate your whole life and then you eat a sandwich and you're instantly better and you're just like, it shouldn't be this easy. This fucking sucks. Like, this is so yeah. dumb.
And I feel like they should be more like, when I've gotten like advice on stuff to do, I feel like the same way where, you know, like, you know how like for flossing, there's those like floss picks and stuff. And then dentists are like, well, those aren't really the best type of floss. And she's like, just, this is better than nothing. Just give, let me, like, shut the fuck up. I'm not winding up the goddamn cocoa floss or whatever it is. I'm just let me do the pick. This is better than nothing.
I you feel do like, the pick, really.
Yeah.
You do when the little, I, when the I little do the harp, pick. The little one string harp.
Yeah, I do. I play the tooth harp. I mean, I don't do it as Why? Much as I should. Because I have a hard time with the thing. The
this
stuff.
Is this was such a weird episode of us just talking about our body problems. Can we do
welcome to the bonus, baby.
Let's do a mailbag. Yeah, a mailbag.
Yeah. yeah, my point was just like, I wish that the physical therapist would be like, well, you got to do 45 minutes a day with these bands. Or, because I know you're not going to do that, here's like two important things that take 5 minutes.
Give me
minutes.
The like, yeah, give me the Cliffs notes of the yeah, things yeah, I should like, be doing.
What's the one best one if I'm just going to do one of them? yeah, speaking of, we can go into a mailbag. Let's start with this tale of this unlimited Starbucks card, this moral quandary / legal concern this guy took. To Reddit with, which is really where you want to go.
Which subreddit is this?
r/legal advice, a classic.
Oh, a good one. One of the prime ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, just like a testament to people and humans that like every thread I've ever seen on our legal advice, the first like 8 comments are just removed by someone who's like, don't post in here if you're not a lawyer. Like, don't tell people what to do. Stop. So this is legal advice. Am I breaking the law by getting free Starbucks for 7 years? I never thought it was illegal, but I decided it was probably time to ask. I will try and keep this short. I tried to post this in r/Starbucks, but it didn't go through. the phrasing that makes me think this person is like at least 40.
That also like, I would not post about this in r/Starbucks. And I feel like that gives you a way higher probability of getting it shut off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, read our quandary.
In 2016, I attended a conference in my home city. It was attended by VPs and high-level executives from dozens of Fortune 500 companies. I am not such an executive. I work in research. Research. What are you, the Hulk, dude? Just vague research.
It's the Hulk.
I work in research. Anyway, after one of the speeches, as I was walking out, I found a Starbucks gift card on the ground. It was a Christmas-themed design. I went to Starbucks and tried to use the card, and it had $40 on it. I was happy. I put it in my wallet and forgot about it. I did not really drink coffee at the time. Then maybe 3 months later, I found the card and checked the balance, and it was nearly $500. I didn't understand WTF was happening. I went to Starbucks with my roommates at the time and bought everyone drinks and food. I eventually did the math and figured out that on the second of every month, unless the second falls on a Sunday, the card is reloaded with $150. This was 7 years ago. The card still works today and still reloaded on the second of every month. I now have a real job, a wife, a kid, and not surprisingly, I now drink a shit ton of Starbucks coffee and still have this card.
I love that his life has changed. Like, this card has been the constant through his growing through the years. That's beautiful. Yeah.
I once left in a rental car in Minneapolis, and I called the desk and Venmo'd the employee $100 to mail it to me, and he did. Other than that, I've never lost it. But am I breaking the law by continuing to use it? I figure it's some kind of corporate perk for someone at the 2016 conference, but why hasn't anyone shut off the card or reported it missing? Can I just keep living my life like this? Am I going to hell? Thanks in advance. I think he posted this just to like, because he wanted to tell somebody.
He needed to get it off.
There's no fucking way he's stopping using it. Unless someone's absolutely like, not. You're going to jail now. You're 100%
also, to me, there's like, there is virtually no moral quandary here. Because like, this is not taking money out of someone's pocket. You know what I mean? This is definitely some kind of big corporation.
Yeah.
My friend had one of these that she moved away and basically through it was definitely allowed. Don't worry about it. It also has been several years, so this is not happening anymore. But she had a credit card that her company gave her that they would put $300. It had a $300 balance every month, and they would just pay off the balance. And you could only use it on like at food places. So you could use it for groceries. You could use it at bars. You could use it at restaurants, but you couldn't use it for anything else. And she moved away and she gave it to me and I had it for like 6 months and, it rocked. It was so great.
Fraud rocks. You heard it here.
But it was just like, cause they're like, oh, our employees have to work in the office. Here's their lunch benefit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think at first I thought it was one of the, cause there are, especially being like, oh, is it a place with a bunch of executives? There are, I think Starbucks definitely has, and a couple other places do have, like, you can get, like, a unlimited, it's just basically a free pass where you're, like, I think it's, like, for very, very,
it's, like,
very,
easy
very
pass for
level.
Starbucks.
Or for very, very high level, like, VIPs or something like that, I think you can get a card that is just, like, free Starbucks.
It's just free.
Yeah.
Okay.
This sounds like, to me, honestly, what I think this is if it's some really rich motherfucker. They just had a Starbucks card that they use that they have an auto pay on, that they have an auto
but
refill.
It's not a, it doesn't sound like it's a credit card. It's a gift card, right?
Yeah, but you can schedule to be, you know, like you're like every second of the month, add $150 to the balance to cover my month or whatever. Like even when I
feel
had,
like that's a credit card.
No, it's the gift card. It's like they want to keep you using
it. I guess it's
their,
prepaid. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because even when I had like a Dunkin' Donuts account when I went to Dunkin' every day, they like try to get you to get you on those plans. Because that way they're like, if you have money on this card that we automatically add, then you're definitely going to go to Dunkin' every time with it. You're never going to go.
Right.
Like, oh, what?
Well, this
I'll just
is like people
else.
Are like, Starbucks is sort of a coffee place, but is ultimately a bank. Like, because yeah. people have these Starbucks cards and they prepay yeah. for them. So Starbucks gets all that money up front.
Mm.
And then they just dispense free coffee for their financial services, basically.
Yeah. And I think it definitely could have gotten lost in the shuffle of like, if someone had that much money and it's like, they probably don't even handle stuff like that. Like, it's an assistant. And
I'm just positive like, this is a company. I don't think this is an individual.
Really?
I really don't. Yeah, I don't think it's a person.
How much is added? How much is added?
150.
Every month?
150 every month.
I do think it could
especially
be
especially because it was found at a corporate conference. I think this is a company card.
The only thing that makes me think it's not a company card is that it was Christmas. It was a seasonal decoration.
Oh, it
was card.
Christmas decoration.
Yeah, that's also made me think it wasn't like the like all, you know, just like the free coffee card.
Well, it's definitely
also,
not.
It's like such a specific, like that's such a, especially now with everything being subscription, like there is so much inertia of like not canceling something that it's like a huge, I do think it could just be like
this is
it just
why
gets
my wallet
in
goes
the...
in the trash every 6 months. So I clean out all my subscriptions.
Clean out
you
your
know?
Subscriptions, yeah. Because I remember when I worked at a subscription video like thing. It's like a thing where they're like, you can never. You have the list of things where by law, if you change this or this, or obviously if you change the price, it doesn't matter if you make it 1 cent more, like. Even if you like lower the price almost, I can't remember if you have to notify people if you lower the price, but even if you like raise the price by 1 cent, the fact that that is going to make everyone have to verify their subscription, you will lose like 70% of your subscribers because there's like, it's like part of the planning of the economics of it that they're just like, we assume this percentage of, you know, you have like, I mean, you can look it up if it's like video, you're like, this is the amount of people who watch 0 minutes of this a month,
but just clearly don't know they still have a subscription.
This is, of course, not true of our podcast, where everyone actively listens to all of these and is, you know. That we're not talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
We're talking about Planet Fitness. This is the Planet Fitness
Well,
model.
if they don't, then they won't hear this. So we're scot-free. I do think there's like a possibility that it's just lost in some ledger of like some, you know.
A really, really rich person or something.
Yeah. And then I feel even less bad, A, because it's a really, really rich person. B, because they're probably using it as it's written off in some, you know, way or whatever. But I feel like it's also like a very rich person thing to like hoard like Starbucks reward points and whatever. Like, I feel like that's, you know, that's the classic like rich person where if it's like, if you put $145 on your card, we'll give you five free bonus dollars. And they're like, yes, yes, every cent.
How do you think they got so rich, Eli?
Yeah, how do you stay rich? This is how you stay rich.
I just don't understand. I'm sorry. I might piss off some listeners here. Why do people like Starbucks? I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal. Because like my thought was, if I had unlimited money, I would not be buying things at Starbucks. I would be going to a nice coffee shop that charges like $7 for a cup of coffee, which like a lot of the nice ones do. But like, I just don't get it. I've never had anything at Starbucks that's made me be like, wow.
But like, that's how they stay rich.
buying
medium
Starbucks.
Expensive coffee.
That's true. That's why I'm not going to be able to own a home, because I like a nice cortado once in a while.
This person shouldn't be rich because they, you know, they're not making coffee at home or whatever. I don't think that's like crazy. I think
I just
pretty
don't
want to
sound
that,
like fucking Dennis Leary or something. Like, I don't, it's not, that's not my objection. I just like don't think it's good. I think the food is awful. And I think the coffee isn't very good either.
The coffee is terrible. Like, and most people I talk to are not too, I always hear the thing, I don't know how, that they just burn the shit out of their coffee to make it.
That's how it tastes.
Yeah. They burn the shit out to make it like more. And I think that's part of it, is that people who, I mean, people get the crazy stuff there. I mean, at a certain point, I think your order gets so fucked up that you no longer want to make it anybody else's
problem.
It's like a
milkshake or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not even that. It's just like, well, I don't want to have to explain all my idiosyncrasies of my order to somebody else. Starbucks clearly knows how to do it. and like, if you're getting like, you know, if you're getting like complicated shit, then Starbucks is fine. Or their cold, their iced coffee is good, but their like hot coffee like sucks. And then I think it's all like, whenever I travel, which is not that often, or like I'm in somewhere unfamiliar, I love to like look at Yelp and be like, okay, what's like a good, let me try a new place. But I think if somebody is like especially, I mean, this is at like a conference where it's like everybody corporate is thing, constantly traveling. I think at a certain point you're just like, it's like McDonald's sort of, you know,
right. It's like the appeal of a chain restaurant. You know exactly what you're going to get. It's going to be the same no matter where you are. Yeah.
And you're like, you can always
but
find
it's
one
just
around
bad.
You.
It's the same bad wherever you are. I don't get it.
I think we're a full donkeys podcast. So.
Well, I think we are full donkeys. I don't think I've ever seen
Dunkin'
any of
coffee
at
is
Starbucks.
Good. Everything.
I mean, Dunkin', like, Dunkin' coffee is good. Nothing else at Dunkin' is good. Like,
their
everything
food.
There tastes like the food just tastes like the inside of a microwave. It's just like doesn't have any taste. And the donuts are not good either. I feel like the donuts are not good.
Did you know
just
that
the coffee?
For whatever reason, I don't know why. You have to be like a senior employee to make the sandwiches at Dunkin'. They have like a rule.
That's
like you
really
have
funny.
To like you're not allowed to make them. So if you're ever at Dunkin',
they
and,
call
like,
in the vet.
You ask for a sandwich, and the person's like, they don't go make it. That's because like they're not allowed. They haven't like reached that level. No, their
too
coffee
low
is
on
good.
The totem pole.
Outside of that, like midnight coffee thing they tried that they're trying to launch, that shit tastes like an ashtray. But their regular stuff is pretty good. It's just, you know what you're getting. But yeah, I mean, I could see that at a certain point where it's like, hey, you don't want to like try to find a place with coffee and then have to suffer through it. But I don't like, I really
what did,
like,
what did legal advice say about this? What was their guidance?
I'd have to track it down because this is just a screenshot in the Discord.
Okay. Who submitted this?
This is
Christoph Kazoo.
Thank you, Christoph Kazoo. Did Christoph Kazoo have a question about it, or was just like, what do you make of this?
What do you make? Well, even if it is, what do you make of this? Hey, we still appreciate you doing giving us research. No, it literally is, dear What a Time, please consider the case. As if we're a private detective agency.
I mean, yeah, this maybe would have been one for Patty, since he actually might know, but I'd imagine Patty would say this is not allowed.
I mean, I think it's clearly not allowed, but also
generally the lawyer will advise against fun things.
Against fun. Yeah, I mean, if the question is whether I would keep using it, I think I'd use it for a while, and then, which just sounds like what this person did, where it's like once in a while I'll be like, I get a free coffee once in a while on this weird little card. Yeah. And then eventually you just, I mean, when nobody's saying anything about it, it's going to be like, it would get to a point where if it got shut off, it would probably like fuck up my budget. Like I'd be like, oh shit, I got to move. I got to cancel my health insurance. I got to move some stuff around. I got to move some stuff around, you know.
I got to look at the books here. I got to figure this out.
Yeah, time to respond to some of those emails from SoFi congratulating me on my personal loans. Congratulations. You owe money and we can help. Fucking awful.
Those really bum me out, cuz they usually put the amount of money you have as a debt as like the thing of the loan, and it's like, don't make me look at that number when I'm not thinking about that number. I don't want to see that number right now. I'll look at that number when I'm good and ready to look at that number. I don't need that jumping out at me all the time.
Yeah, dude, I am like, there, I am such a target for them, because like I am who every credit card wants, because I am not great with money, but I pay it off and I have a good credit score. So they're just like, you are the exact amount of irresponsible that we would love to have be part of our operation here. like you're going to irresponsibly run up your bill, but then you are going to pay it off for sure. It's like, God damn it. It cracked me, dude.
That is like an under-discussed part of credit scores, is like, part of it is how fiscally responsible you are, but part of it is how much of a mark you are for financial institutions. Like,
well, yeah,
that does factor into it. Because
if you don't have like 10 credit cards, that's their first recommendation. They're like, maybe get it up a couple points by opening fucking 10 credit cards. Like all this weird, all this weird shit where it's like, I mean, everyone knows credit scores don't make sense. They're like, it's supposed to be based on credit, you know, like financial responsibility. And then you're going to tell me like, the financially responsible thing to do when you pay off a credit card is to put it in your nightstand and leave it there forever.
Right.
Don't close it.
The financially responsible thing to do is not incur any debt. That's like kind of one of the big ones.
Or never close an account. You close.
Yeah.
Like, you think that paying off and
they're like
closing
the fucking
a credit
mafia.
Card,
if you close an account, they're like, be ashamed if we tanked your credit score over this. Yeah. You no longer wanting to do business with us. Too bad.
Shows your inner records that you paid off debt and then eliminated that debt. That is actually kind of a big red flag for us. That's kind of a huge problem. We're going to need you to stick that fucking Delta points card the deepest part of one drawer for the rest of your life. And then
the only reason
you
I have credit cards
points.
At this... The only reason I have credit cards at this point in my life is for when I inevitably lose my wallet. I have other ways to buy things.
Yeah.
They're all in a drawer. I don't keep any of them with me because of my wallet losing ways.
Well, we got... I felt so bad about my responsibilities because of our... Who is the... Caleb Hammer? Was that our...
Caleb Hammer,
Yeah. Real heel turn for Caleb Hammer. He isn't... Then I was like, yeah, fuck that guy. And fuck the completely responsible things he told me to do. I saw him pop up on another YouTube channel that wasn't his, and he was just like full crying landlord, where he was like, I can't evict anybody. How do I evict people? And I was like,
Yeah. That dude is 100%. He's like a college town slumlord. That's like how he has money. So it's like, all right, well, I trust your advice up to a point, but.
Yeah, because he was doing his audit thing, and he was like, this is how much I pay a month for, you know, this building, and this is how much I rent each unit out for. And everybody in the comments was like, you are a slumlord. Like, look at this. This is crazy.
Sir. Should we do one more quick mailbag and then get out of here?
Yeah, we can. Also,
let's do it.
Number one most responsible use of money, Patreon, baby.
Patreon! $5!
Our Patreon.
That's less than a Starbucks coffee. You know?
Yeah, depending on if you fuck it up all crazy.
It's it's less expensive than a fucked up Starbucks coffee, for sure.
than some crazy shit. We'll do quick. This one we can do a quick. What would your walk up? excuse me. Let me find who asked this. Oh, people are so engaged in our Discord. It's wonderful.
Thank you to our patrons. Y'all are very active on there.
Mm-hmm. Iguana Helium Cube, an OG research assistant for the pod. Dear What a Time to Be Alive, if you were being introduced as part of an NBA starting lineup, what would you want your walk-on music to be?
I know mine already. I think more in terms of wrestling entrance music, but I feel like it's the same type of deal. I've always thought Here Comes Your Man by the Pixies would be really good walk-up or entrance music. Because it's like,
oh man,
here he comes.
If I was on an NBA team and somebody else walked out to Here Comes Your Man by the Pixies, I'd be like, I am going to foul that motherfucker all game. This nerd, dude, I'm going to knock him to the ground.
Well, it would sound different than most of the other ones, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Like, a whole NBA team comes out, and then one, like, scrawny motherfucker comes out to, like, Holland 1945 by Neutral Milk Hotel and be like, oh, you're catching an elbow to the face, buddy. You're going
Those
down.
Are different types of songs.
They're in the same t-shirt drawer. That's all I'm saying.
They are in the same t-shirt drawer. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
I just think that would be a funny thing to come out to because it's like, here he comes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, no, it'd be good. I think.
Just maybe not for NBA. You're right. Yeah. It's not hype enough. But that's not my vibe. I'm not hype. Think about this, too. I'm the person on the NBA. Like, there are other problems. There are other reasons people are like, this should not be happening. It's the music is an afterthought.
Yeah.
Maybe wouldn't look that weird out there, though.
I wouldn't. So. Yeah. I would look like I could pretend to be like one of those guys. It's like I was like a really big part of it. I was not like a really big part of a championship team, but I was like on the bench for a championship team like 10 years ago. And so I have basically like a contract out of respect more than anything. And so like, if we go to the finals, they'll let me take like, they'll put me in for like 30 seconds at the end of the game, maybe take like a free throw. And then like, you know, it's like that. Never mind that I would have never been able to functionally play in the first place, but come out like walkout music. I feel like I've told this story before. It was like one time I did a show in Chicago at the Laugh Factory and they were like, you can have walkout music. And I always regretted not using the 1812 Overture, just like walking out the cannons, like, but then also, like, I think it's hard to overthink it where it's like, you know, walking out to like Crazy Train is just like, it's classic, dude.
They're,
I feel like,
yeah,
it's
like the classics are classics for a reason. They are like, they do get people hype.
Yeah. I would want to have it be part of my, like, even when I play like NBA 2K, I'd like to create a character with a real rich lore behind him. Like, I like would create a little guy and I'd make him like really fast and then I'd turn like every hair slider to the maximum. I'd be like really long hair, really long beard. And then I'd, in my head, I'd just be like, and I'd give him a name like John Ratinsky and I'd be like, he's a little rat. That's his thing is he's like slippery and greasy. I'd want to build it up like that. Like have it be like Crazy Train and be known for being like, I don't know, biting the head off bats or whatever. Have a signature
the
dunk.
Key I feel like some of the keys to like walk-up music is like I think it needs to have a really distinctive opening, like the first 5 seconds need to be recognizable, or there has to be like some hit early on that's like, oh, that's what that is. Like,
yeah,
doing a song nobody knows is not gonna work. Like, it's never, unless you're like so famous that people will know the song because it's your walk-up music.
Yeah, you gotta pick
something sort of classic, I think.
Yeah. I just think there's like, you should have respect for the classics. Or part of me wants to pick some really weird song, but also it's like, man, those songs are
Like the this season, the NFL is using Annie Up in a lot of their ads, and it's a question of like, how have you waited this long to use this song?
Yeah.
It's like perfect for anything. Like,
what a good song.
Yeah, top notch. Well, there are answers. I'll try to. Now I do want to have a cool answer, but I can't think of any.
1812 Overture is pretty cool.
And I'm it's playing during warm ups, and I'm shooting every time the cannons go off.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Cool, be good. Yeah, and college football is really good about that. One, I think Virginia Tech walks out to Enter Sandman, and it's
sick.
Like it's so sick. It's it's like goes like that, and then when when it kicks in, the whole stadium is jumping up and down. I don't know. It's one of those. I see it a lot on like reaction videos where they're like Brit YouTubers watch football videos, and they're like, "This is mental! Wow!"
I always think about it in wrestling, and like obviously the classics go really hard. It's cool when someone finds one that you wouldn't think that like works amazingly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this dude, he's an AEW now. His nickname is Swerve. He used to come out to Shaka Khan Ain't Nobody, which like you just like wouldn't think of that as like sports entrance music, but people would go fucking nuts. Like it was awesome. Like
yeah.
He would like come out, and then people would love it so much. The next guy would be like, "Just play his music again. I'll come
just do it again." Yeah, we should probably wrap it up. But
let's wrap it up.
That's also like, I mean, you knew about? Did you hear about the whole Baby Shark thing when the Nationals were, I guess, World Series, where there was like a guy who is like his kids loved the song Baby Shark, like do.
Oh, so he used that as his
and he used his walk up thing, just kind of like as a nice thing for his kids. But then that team ended up so good that it was like they would play Baby Shark and like everyone in the stadium would like be doing it. Like my parents still have like a little plushy shark hand thing from like
this is a phenomenon.
Yeah, like everybody in DC was just like all in on Baby Shark. yeah. Cool. Man, we should have been professional athletes. Why didn't I do that?
We talked for like 30 minutes about how our bodies and eyes don't work. And we're like, we should have been pro athletes.
Yeah.
That would have been
good. Yeah. Cause and effect. Covered in the
same. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This is Shelby's walk-up music.
Yeah.